Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations Radio.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
afternoon or good morning, depending on where you are in the country or even in the world. Welcome to Peace Talks on Life Conversations Radio. I'm your host, Audrey Scott Williams, and I'd like to take a moment to thank Tony Sheena, who's on the switchboard today, and Makua Ray holding down the chat room and together keeping us on air. We have a new system we're operating with, so we are all very prayerful that we will bring you the show without any glitches. And if there are any glitches, it's just a moment to take a breath, a pause, to let all this great information soak in. I want to begin also by thanking the 13 Moon Walk for Peace, one of the most dynamic teams of people I've ever walked with. Mama Natalie, Karen Watson, Mary Woods, Dave DeFabo, and our elder Baba Ogigi. And I particularly want to thank them because I've had to be away from the team for a few days as my sister was undergoing some medical attention and has come through it with flying colors. Just amazing the progress that has been made in a couple of days. And if it were not for all of you out there that have kept her surrounded and filled with clear intention for perfect divine healing, I know we would have a different outcome. But because you have and all the angels have been circling around her, she and her testimony are a miracle in progress. Today, I'm really, really holding the energy as we move through this show of love because I am convinced that love centered in our family and community allows a blossoming to take place built upon service and unselfish attention to what needs to happen, not only within ourselves, but as soon as we get it in ourselves, we're sending it out there in the world. And so we know that that has the power to heal and to transform even those situations that look to be unchangeable. Love connects us to that divine spark within and allows our creativity to rise up and transform all things. Isn't it great to be in the midst of that powerful energy? So that no matter what it looks like around us, we know that the answer is within. And when we fearlessly connect with that energy, we can transform all things. And on that note, I want to welcome to our show today someone that recently has inspired me, and I don't even know if she is aware of it. The 13 Moonwalk for Peace just left Detroit not too long ago, and our very first function or activity there was to attend the Detroit City Council meeting, and Dr. Joanne Watson was our host, and just to watch her in action as Detroit City Council meeting, as the meeting progressed, having seen what Detroit is faced with, I was so impressed. Because you know, those of you who've been listening to the show over time know that all that we walk for, all of that energy that we put forward in our own healing and the healing in our communities, is we're doing that with the intention of healing the heart of America. And you want to know what's happening to the heartbeat of America, you've got to get out there and see what's happening in our cities, in our urban areas, in the suburbs. You've got to get out on the reservations. You've got to do it all. And when you see it, you realize what the beauty and grace there is out there, but you also realize the challenges that we're facing. So in honor of a woman who has already been designated as one of the most valuable local officials, I'd like to welcome to the show today, Joanne Watson. Joanne, are you with us?
Hi, Audrey. This is not Councilwoman Watson. This is Makua. We're still waiting for her to call in.
Okay, well, as soon
wanted
as she
to let
calls,
you know.
Okay, Makua, as soon as she comes in, just bring her on through, okay?
We sure will. Okay.
While we're waiting for Councilwoman Joanne Watson, I wanted to just let you know that, again, this show today is dedicated to love in action. That's the theme that we are keeping forward as we listen to our guest today. And it's very appropriate because in the second half hour of our show, we're going to be talking with two members of AMA, and many of you may know her as the Hugging Guru. Her team that will be bringing AMA to Northern Virginia They're going to be joining us, and I'm really excited to find out what Amma will be doing, not only in Northern Virginia, but also how long she will be in the States this time. Many of you may have heard previous shows where we mentioned when the Trail of Dreams World Peace Walk went through India, we actually had an opportunity to stay at her ashram in southern India in Kerala. And wow, what an experience that was for her. So today is all about love and action. And while we're waiting, I also want to just give you some information about the 13 Moon Walk for Peace. We are now in Cleveland. We will be leaving Cleveland tomorrow, heading to Cincinnati. And from Cincinnati, we head back up to Pittsburgh and then on across Pittsburgh, Williamsport, Philadelphia, Newark, New York City, and then we begin our journey south from New York City, going through Philly and Baltimore, Washington, D.C., and on down until we arrive in Atlanta on 11-11-11. All of those who have been following us, I want to say that you have some great opportunities to not only follow us on the Internet, but actually to get out and walk with us, whether it's a few miles or longer. We will be calling forward our support team and members of communities to walk with us from Philadelphia on south to Atlanta to join us when we come through your communities. We're recognizing as we do this final leg of the walk, all of those people that we've met in communities around the country who are the unsung heroes that are truly holding this fabric together, and they're called our heroes. They are certainly our peacemakers that we hold in that hero status. Many of them have given so much of themselves to keep their communities alive and well, and we'll truly be honoring them in Atlanta on 11-11-11. So stay tuned. Watch our site. The website is 13, the number 13, Moonwalk, the number 4, peace.com, so that you can see what will be happening in the various cities as we come forward. Atlanta is going to be a pretty packed activity-filled weekend. On that Friday, we have the walk into Atlanta. We'll have a gallery that will be displaying the artwork of some of the artists that we've met along the way, including in the human rights area, Leonard Peltier's art, in the social justice area, the beautiful artwork of the painted doors of artist Charles Washington. And we'll also have, we're working with Joanne Balliker to have her statue of Martin Luther King perhaps available to be on display as we prepare this beautiful artistic venue for those who want to see what's happening artistically in terms of social justice. One of my deep convictions is that art is one of the few places in any culture where truth can come forward without sanction. So it's very important for us that as we travel, we also allow the artistic expression of those peacemakers in our communities to come forward as well. So that's where we are on the 13 Moon Walk for Peace. The team is all doing well. Mama Natalie is still at the helm, and we're just very, very proud that we've been able to make it all the way 9 months now with your love and your support. I'm going to see if we can take a break right here, Tony, if we can go to Om Shanti, and we'll be back with Councilwoman Joanne Watts.
given a voice back to the community, to the community, to the community, to the community, to the community.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Welcome back to Peace Talks on Life Conversations Radio. I'm your host, Audrey Scott Williams. We have Tony Sheena on the switchboards, Makua Ray holding down the chat room. And our guest today is Councilwoman from Detroit, Joanne Watson. And we're going to check in and see if Councilwoman is on the line at this time. Joanne Watson?
Still waiting, Audrey.
Still waiting. Okay, well, let's see. We're going to see if this happens today. Of course, we are wanting to bring to you a show that shows how love can transform all things, and we thought Detroit would be an incredible place to begin that conversation. I'll just share that as we walked in Detroit, we were surprised at the challenges that are facing the local government there, as we saw the numbers of abandoned homes, abandoned buildings, and then doing some research on our own and discovering how there has been such a shift in the population even within the last decade or so, where it went from 1.8 million people down to about 900,000. That's about half the population within a relatively short period of time, leaving the community, leaving one of the most dynamic industrial complexes in our country, the city of Detroit, the city of, you know, the whole car industry, the city of Motown. Some of our walkers refer to it as the soul of America, because that's where the soul music actually came out of in Motown. And then to see the challenges that are facing the community now, it's quite profound. And so Joanne Watson, councilwoman for three times elected to the Detroit City Council, has sponsored an incredible amount of legislation over the last 7 years, and some of that legislation deals with issues having to do with preserving certain sites, with dealing with the whole scrap metal, you know, getting some of those protection for workers in that realm. Also, sponsoring legislation to help with foreclosure, especially where so many, to put a moratorium, actually, on foreclosures in the city of Detroit to help those that are being challenged financially in terms of losing their homes, and also some of the initiatives that I was particularly that particularly caught my eye had to do with urban gardening and shutting down some of the inner city incinerators. So she's really been doing a lot for the city and has her hands on, her pulse on what is happening, and is so informed. As we sat and listened to the meeting that day, it was amazing how any comment that a citizen made, the history that she had to be able to bring into an expanded conversation around some of the challenges that are facing the city. When I left Detroit, I really had to sit in meditation and think for a moment, what is the story behind the story about the city of Detroit? And then connecting that with, you know, the Ogallala Sioux Nation on the Pine Ridge Reservation, what's the story behind what we see there in terms of the poverty and the alcoholism and so forth? And, you know, we could look at any of the major cities that we've been in, some of the smaller ones. And then the question becomes, what must we do? And that reminded me of traveling to South Africa with the Worldwide Indigenous Science Network and Mr. Haile Makua, and I think Toy Toy were there, as we met with Baba Credo Mutwa. And I remember him putting his hand on his forehead as if to say, what must we do? You know, we see all these things. We know what the challenges are, you know, at least at a broad level. But how do we transform this now into a way that brings about a healing in our communities? And healing often has different meanings for different people. But the bottom line being, how do we create societies now that are based on the fundamental foundation of love and compassion, the fundamental truths that bring about equality, righteousness, social justice, joy, and opportunity for citizens of all kinds, regardless of race, creed, culture, you know, sexual orientation, whatever the divides that we create. How do we now move into a space where our elected officials, our corporate leaders, our military leaders, and every citizen, that we're all working in such a synergy that when we look at what's happening around us, we see that as a reflection of what we're holding inside. And I say that because as we face challenges and we see the best of the best, the worst of the worst, and everything in between, I'm constantly wanting to put forth that what we see is somehow connected to what we hold. And so, therefore, we have to continue to go inside to heal what's inside so that what is happening out there in the world around us begins to reflect that. And I say that because as we watch the news and different things, media output, in terms of what's happening, if you just watch that all the time, you begin to accept some of this stuff and you get disconnected from the personal connection to change. We begin to feel powerless. We begin to feel that there's nothing that we can do. Well, as the 13 Moon Walk for Peace, as we've walked, I want to say to everyone, there is everything that we can do, because as we begin to tap into the power and presence of who we are, as we begin to walk in that, as we begin to allow the creative energy that is within all of us to solve all things, then we begin to put a stop to the things around us that aren't right, because it's not in alignment anymore. And when we say that these things seem impossible, then we know that that's not the truth of it, because all possibility exists within that creative, divine spark that we all possess, and we can make a change. In fact, the only change that's going to come, that's going to be long-lasting, is going to come out of that awareness. And so as we walk, you know, we're constantly mindful of where we're putting our energy. What is it that we're holding for ourselves? Where are our greatest fears being expressed? And, you know, this reminds me of one day we were getting ready to walk, and those of you who know me know that my angels and guides, the grandmothers, come through and at any time. But this particular morning they came through with a powerful yet simple message. And that is, at this time, if we can love enough, if we can trust enough, if we can let go enough, that the divine force of the universe will work miracles in us and through us now. And so I bring that forward because I want us to empower each other. And that begins by empowering ourselves so that we can take on the challenges of the world, not by confronting them in battle, but by confronting them in love and seeing the transformation happen. And I'll never forget that the most often asked question of me, since I've been walking now for nearly 12 years, is, what are you thinking about? Why are you putting so much of your energy into walking around the world for peace when there's never been peace and there never will be peace? And my response is always the same, but there is peace. Whose story are you listening to? There is peace when unknown strangers can set out on a journey to walk around the world, not having the resources to really do it, if you think about it from your mental mind, not knowing where you're going to spend your next time, but to go forward in such a way that you embrace that love and that peace that is within one, and never have a moment of being alone. Never have a moment where what you need is not being provided. So that's peace. So what stories are we listening to? And at the same time, being fully aware of where the injustices are coming forward. and finding those answers by stepping into it in love, speaking truth to power, speaking truth to what appears to be injustice, bringing our love, our intention into that, and seeing transformation happen, sometimes instantaneous. And so that's what this show is all about today, as we tap into the energy of love and the power of that to transform even those cities in our country that right now that seem to be facing problems that are bigger than life. We have the capacity to transform. We have to talk to one another. We have to share the truth as we walk our own walk. We have to be willing to take the blinders off and really see and feel, so that as we share those stories, then we allow ourselves to come up with solutions and to act and walk in that knowing. And so I'm not sure if we're going to have Councilwoman Joanne Watson on today. There may have
actually she's online with you right now. I just wanted to wait to get a moment to let you know.
All right. Well, hey, let's go. Welcome, Joanne Watson. You can tell I've been talking about the city of Detroit, and I'm going to let you talk now. I want to just say to you, thank you so much for hosting us in Detroit. And
it's such an honor to have you here. Thank you for coming to Detroit with the Peace Walk.
Absolutely, and giving us the honor to watch you in action. Truly, truly a local official with a lot of energy and a lot of wisdom. And so from that, I have one question, and I'm going to be quiet and let you go forward. Tell us how you hold the space for change in the city of Detroit with all the challenges you're facing internally and externally.
Let me say that, first of all, I owe so much to the peace movement and to great pioneers in the Detroit community who have become nationally known and internationally known for their work with peace. The late Al Fishman, who joined the Ancestors this year, was a national board member for Peace Action, was one of my mentors. In fact, we reclaimed one of our offices as a peace office in honor of Al Fishman. So I came onto the Detroit City Council sponsoring a resolution to declare January 1st as Peace Day in the city of Detroit. And having worked with the late Marianne Mahaffey, a great peace activist, and the late Marianne Mahaffey, the late Irma Henderson, both of whom had been council presidents, with as founders of Peace Links in the city of Detroit back when I was a director of the YWCA, we just have always had a wonderful partnership between those persons who are working and walking and demanding peace as a priority in our community, and those who are working for human rights across the board. So it's been a great blessing, and I owe everything to those who have been a part of that peace movement and the peace leadership. So what an honor it was to welcome you here to the city of Detroit and to present the Spirit of Detroit Award to the 13 Moon Peace representative here, which was taken from Scripture. Now that Spirit is the Lord, and when the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Absolutely. Well, we were certainly honored to receive that award. It really touched our heart. Again, you know, as we walked while we were there in Detroit, had an opportunity to do some walking through the city, we saw a lot of the challenges that you're facing. And so I want to say, what keeps you inspired? What keeps you in the knowing that Detroit is just on its way to being transformed into a true gem?
I think it's important to stay on the positive track. I'm a praying person and believe that when you are steeped in what is positive and the spirit of positive energy, that's what comes back to you. So it is part of what we do on airways. I am blessed to have a talk show that's called Wake Up Detroit. And we deliberately try to provide a counter, an alternative to hate talk that too often permeates God's airways. So we talk about peace and justice and human rights and our connection to one another. Truly, we are our brothers and our sisters' keepers. We are connected here as a human family, for peace and for justice and for respect and the dignity of all living things. So we I believe, whether we consider ourselves a part of the peace movement or not, as a part of the human family, we all need to wear that tapestry of peace. And I'm very blessed. I was earlier in my life, I was part of the Women for a Meaningful Summit. It traveled to the former Soviet Union with U.S. Senator, now U.S. Senator Debbie Stabenow, who was my roommate. So we took full credit for the perestroika peace engulfing the USSR during that period in 1989. Wow. Have been working with young people to build a whole artillery for peace in high schools and in middle schools so that they can be with voices and visions that simply say, peace is my priority.
Mm-hmm. And
peace is what I stand for, and peace is all I will respond to.
Right, right. And as you look at that, you know, I was saying earlier in the show that peace means a lot of different things to different people, and embraces a lot, you know. And so peace is having a place to come home to, you know. Peace is having an environment that is conducive to not only the sustainability of the earth, but the sustainability of life itself. You know, peace has so many different meanings. From an urban setting, and I look at the challenges that Detroit is facing, and I think about of all the things that you're doing there, what an example of possibility you'll be for other communities who are going to be facing certain kinds of, or already maybe, how do you work your way through that? What is some of the most challenging things as the population's shifting, jobs are shifting, and so forth? What's the most challenging aspect of being a city official in that? But also, what is the light at the end of the tunnel that you're beginning to see now as Detroit is still working to pull itself through this?
Well, I see people coming together throughout the region. It's not just about Detroit. And this city, and the we and they is disappearing, which is good news.
Ah, that is good news. And what do you see as the light now? I know that in itself is the light, but what do you see? How do you move through this?
I think you organize and you bring people on. I think it's critically important that we move out of our comfort zone and not just deal with persons that we have known for a long time. I think if you're not mentoring, I have, for example, I have 40 godchildren that I didn't plan on that when I was 20. But, you know, I've picked up younger people as I've gone along. I'm the only woman that's been the director of the NAACP in Detroit. So that the youth movement, some members of that youth movement, became godchildren when I was at the YWCA. Some of those young women became mentees and godchildren, and certainly as an elected official who has a task force that's called Young Adults Reclaiming Detroit, I have a number of godchildren and mentees that are a part of progressive politics. But those godchildren represent, some are Yemenis, two are Greek-American, one is Italian-American. It's a tapestry of our country. And as we help to purposefully share and mentor and engage and leave young people armed with the information and the mission and the sense of purpose to transform our society, then we don't have to worry about the future, because the future is in great hands. We've helped to prepare that.
And that is so important, and I just want to emphasize for those who are listening to the show today and who will be listening to it in the future, that what I heard just said are very important foundation points for all that we've been walking for. One, the importance of engaging our youth and helping them to have the skills and knowledge and wisdom and know-how to be advocates forces for change. That's certainly in our keeping. We walk for, you know, we need to be thinking seven generations out at least in terms of what we're doing now and how that's going to impact our community. The other that you mentioned, and I think it's so important, is that we're having to cross new barriers and cross over borders that have kept us separated, because our gift is truly to be embracing all people as we engage together to find answers and solutions and the actions that are going to make a change for the future.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. So
it's such an honor and a pleasure to be connected with you with your wonderful history internationally of carrying the mantle for peace across the world, literally. And it's just magnificent to have this positive spirit helping to transform our entire global society. So I'm so grateful to you, and I thank you.
Well, thank you so much, City Councilwoman Joanne Watson from the great city of Detroit, and we see it blooming and blossoming under your leadership and all of those that we met there, and we're real excited about the work that's being done there in Detroit. It was an honor to be there. And
it was our honor, and we look forward to our continued work down the road.
Absolutely. You take good care, and thank you so much for making it online today, and we'll
thank
be talking
you.
In the future.
All right. God bless now.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Listening to Peace Talks on Life Conversation Radio with Audrey Scott Williams. And we've just had a moment to chat with Joanne Watson, City Council Member of Detroit, as we look at what's happening in the hub of our urban areas. And again, the message keeps coming forward, you know, that love is the root. It is the core out of which we can do all things. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and talk about the revered hugging Saint Amma, who will be coming to Reston, Virginia, July 6th through the 7th, and we're going to talk more about that just after this break. Tony?
Life Conversations Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Welcome back to Peace Talks on Life Conversations Radio. We're going to be talking with Ken Stebbins, and if I pronounce your name wrong, you can correct me when we get on air, and Padmini Pulerio?
Mary?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good. This is Audrey, and I'm so excited about having you on the show today and telling us all about Amma coming to Reston, Virginia, not too far from now, just another week or so.
Yeah, in a few days. Hi, Audrey. Glad to be here.
Yeah, hi, Audrey. This is Ken Stebbin.
Hi, Ken. So I didn't mess your name up too bad.
No, you did fine.
Okay. Well, let's first talk about Amma and the work that she's doing, of course, known the world over as the Hugging Yogi. The great mother, she's so beautiful. And let's talk about a little bit about the work that she's doing, and then let's talk about her being in Reston and what the activities will be while she's there. And any other information, want to make sure the audience has an opportunity to have a way of connecting with you after the show.
Sure, maybe we could tell a little bit about Amma. She is actually right now about, what is it, Padmini, about 56, I think, or maybe she's 57 now, I think. And she was born in southwestern India in a very poor fishing village basically in India there's a caste system. So she was sort of a lower-level caste in that system in India where, you know, people are sort of ranked by their birth. And, of course, she's a woman, too. So she came in to a poor family in a low caste as a woman and yet has just really wowed the whole world with what she's done. She, from a very early age, always dedicated herself to helping others. So hers is a life of selfless service to others. And that's her message. She says, pray and work with our hands, so to help other people. And she was very spiritually inspired from the earliest age, and so many people began to realize that there was something unique in this young woman. Her family, her parents didn't really know or understand why she was the way she was, but if she saw children that had less than her and her siblings, or if she saw elderly people who needed new clothes or had needed attention or help, she would just rise to that occasion. And so actually she got in a lot of trouble because she would sometimes give away clothes from the family, or she would give away food that they had when there was very little food to go around, because she saw the need, and so she'd get punished for this. But she was always, always helping others selflessly, even as a little girl. And as she got older, people began to realize how unique and special she was, and people would come to her because she is the embodiment of love. She just loved everyone, and she would really help people and really empathize, and she had a kind of spiritual purity and spiritual grace that resulted in people feeling that oftentimes their life was better, or their problems got better after they met Amma. So even as a late teenager, people were sort of lining up to come and see her. Her parents, of course, thought this was very strange, and they wanted her to be an ordinary Indian girl. And so they tried to eventually marry her off, but she'd have nothing doing with that. She wanted a life of service, and service to God and service to others. And so gradually what happened is actually her father realized over many years, it began to dawn on him that actually he said, he actually wrote a piece later in life called My Daughter, My Mother, because eventually, like everyone else, he realized that what Amma embodies is like the universal mother. She nurtures everyone. She loves everyone. She supports everyone. She heals everyone. And so this thing happened as a natural kind of consequence that people were coming to Amma and increasing numbers. And often with people in their problems, she would embrace them and dry their tears and help them. And it became sort of a pattern of Amma embracing people. And this grew into her pattern that now, on any given day, thousands of people will come to her for her blessing, for her embrace. And this has happened all around the world. She's hugged, I think, Padmini, correct if I'm wrong, something like 20 million people. It's absolutely phenomenal. I mean, you and I, if we were to hug 10 people in a row, we'd probably already be exhausted. And, you know, here she, with complete love and attention, continues to bless and hug each person. But on top of that, you know, she has always worked to create help for the needy, and this has inspired tens of thousands of people to work for her charities, and the charities are absolutely extraordinary. she has now a state-of-the-art hospital in India. She has orphanages. Her organization was the largest non-governmental organization for tsunami aid and other large disaster relief projects. The United Nations has recognized her organization and has an affiliation and works with Amma's organization on disaster relief. She has a university which has now become one of the prominent universities of India, and which now has many affiliations for research and development and educational links with many top U.S. universities and other universities around the world. And recently, just last year, the State University of New York in Buffalo gave Amma an honorary doctorate in recognition of all that she was doing and accomplishing. And this is pretty remarkable because she actually never finished grade school. Her mother became ill. She had to take care of her siblings and work long hours, and she never got to finish school. But in her brilliance and in her complete dedication to selfless service, she has shown what a person can do who lives and expresses love in everything they do. She is just a shining example of the potentiality of the best in human beings. And in the course of that, she has shown her brilliance in creating all these organizations that have helped millions of people. So it's really an extraordinary story. I mean, people can read more about that, of course, at amma.org. That's amma.org. And we should just say that the name Amma in India means mother. And people just started calling her mother because she's like a mother in that she sees everyone as her child and loves them like her own child. And she has this love of nature, love of Mother Earth. All she does is embody love. And it's an extraordinary experience to come up to her to receive her blessing and to get that hug.
So, Ken, speaking of that, I want to make sure before we get off air that we've gotten all the information out. Again, Amma's website is amma.org. Now, tell us about Reston, Virginia, what's going to be happening there next week.
Well, that's very exciting. We are really, really excited that Amma's coming back to the Washington area. She's been here, I think, 13 times before. And, you know, amazing of her, she just does this out of the goodness of her heart to come here and visit us and give everyone blessings. And, you know, this is a great time for all of us. And that's going to be next week on Wednesday and Thursday. So that's July 6th and July 7th. And that is at the Hyatt Hotel in Reston, Virginia. That's at the Reston Town Center. You get off the Dulles Toll Road at the Reston Parkway and go to the Reston Town Center. The hotel is right there. You can also see all the details on her program at our local website. And the local website is ammadc.org, so ammadc.org. So people could look that up.
AmmaDC.org. So you can get all the information about what's going to be happening in Reston. If you need a phone number, let's make sure we give a phone number, Ken.
Okay. That is 301-696-1927.
240, Ken.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's right. Thank you, Padmini. 240-696-1927. 240-696-1927. And we should say also the programs are free and open to the public. There is no charge. The parking is free there. And there's two programs per day. There's a morning program that starts at 10 a.m. sharp. And then there's an evening program on Wednesday evening starts at 7:30 p.m. And Thursday evening...
7:30 p.m. Yeah, okay.
No,
sorry.
It's 7:30 on Wednesday and 7 on Thursday, right?
Yeah, 7:30 p.m. on the first night, and then
right.
7 p.m.
and 7 p.m. on Thursday. And if people want to, you know, you can just come. But if you'd like to come up to Amma to receive a blessing, you can get a token so that everyone doesn't have to wait online at the same time. And they start giving the tokens out 1 hour in advance of the program. So good to get there early. If you can, in the program in the evenings, Amma speaks in the evenings only. So during the day, in the beginning, there's kind of a meditation ceremony in the morning when she comes in a prayer, and then she begins receiving people for blessings. And then in the evening, she comes in and there's a talk from one of her senior disciples and from her. And then they do devotional music, which is very beautiful. And then after the devotional music, she begins receiving people for individual blessings. So if you'd like to hear her talk, the evenings are a good time to come.
And on the 7th, there's a prayer for world peace that everybody does together.
In the evening.
In the evening at 7 p.m. on the 7th.
Right.
She gives a talk, and then she does a prayer for world peace.
Wonderful. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Padmini.
It's a group prayer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then if people are there, it's a very nice environment. You know, the atmosphere around her is very filled with love and good vibrations. And there is a store where there's lots of arts and crafts and books and CDs and DVDs and people like to browse through that and look at things. And any money spent on anything supports Amma's charities. There's also food there, so people can get snacks or meals. So it's very pleasant. A lot of people like to just come for the day and enjoy being in that atmosphere as well.
Yeah,
thank
I think
you.
That's what I want to emphasize is people should not come thinking that they can leave in half an hour, because it takes time. Once you get your token, you have to wait for your turn to go into the line to see, to get the hug from Amma. But you will not get bored. There's so many things happening around Amma that there is a lot you can do. So when you plan to come, have some time, you know, take your time, and also sit up front, watch Amma give darshan to or hugs to other people. It's a lot of fun to watch that as well, to see how others react when they get the hug from Amma, the love she imbibes into them. So I would say take your time when you come.
Right, and we want to say thank you so much for bringing that information, amma.org, ammadc.org. Find out the information about what's happening in the Reston, Virginia area. I think we have just a few seconds left. Thank you so much, and all I can say is if you have an opportunity, you should go. And all of you who are wondering, should I go, you'll get a very clear message, and you'll know to be there. We were there in southern India and just transformed just by her presence. And so we give thanks for Amma's presence back here in the United States. We give thanks to you both for the work that you're doing. Thank you for being on Peace Talk on Life Conversations Radio.
Thank you for having us, Audrey.
Have a great weekend next weekend or entire week. And I pray that many, many people come out and have an opportunity to receive Amma's touch, her hug, her love.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks again, everyone. We'll be back next week. We'll be talking about healing and bringing you some information about some healing work that's being done through my dear friend, Edith Phillips, and I look forward to having that conversation next week. Join us at 12 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time on Peace Talks on Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community, 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 to the
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.